Walk through any of the buildings that quietly run the modern world, and you will find yourself standing in a room full of sea. Walk into a hospital operating room, and the controllers driving the anesthesia pump, the infusion lines, the patient monitors, the ventilators are running somewhere underneath their soft beeping displays on firmware written in C. Walk into an airliner's avionics bay, that small crawl space behind the cockpit where the flight control computers live and the software there is by a wide margin C. Walk into a nuclear plant's control room, that pale green space with its long rows of analog gauges and its watchful operators, and the software underneath the gauges is C. Walk into a bank's data center. Walk into a power utility substation. Walk into the basement of a federal agency where the database servers hum in long rows, and the load-bearing software is again C. The language that Dennis Ritchie wrote in 1972 has, over the half-century since, accumulated underneath the floor of the modern world to a depth that is almost impossible to fully appreciate. Most of the critical infrastructure of the United States and of every other industrialized country runs on C. This is not, on its own, a problem. C is good software when it is written with extreme care. The problem is that the careful writing of C, sustained across millions of lines and decades of changes by hundreds of contributors, is not, as it turns out, possible at the level that the world needs. The bugs keep appearing. The vulnerabilities keep being exploited. The cost is paid year after year in stolen data and crippled hospitals and disrupted infrastructure. For most of the history of computer security, the response to this cost was to be more careful, to add more tools, to train more engineers, to audit more code. The premise was that careful enough was achievable. The premise turned out to be wrong, and on November 10, 2022, the United States government said so out loud in writing for the first time. The document came from inside the Fort Meade compound in Maryland from the Cybersecurity Directorate of the National Security Agency. It was 3 pages. It was unclassified. It was signed by Neil Ziering, the directorate's technical director. It told the American software industry, in plain language, to stop starting new projects in a language that has run the world for 50 years. This is Rust, gently, a patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 27, The Memory Safety Mandate. Today, I want to tell you about something that has been happening slowly and deliberately in a corner of the world where governments meet computer security. Over the last several years, the most security-aware bodies in the United States and its closest allies have moved from a defensive posture, where they tried to help companies find bugs faster, to a structural posture, where they ask companies to write software in languages where the bugs cannot exist in the first place. By the end of this episode, you will know the names of the documents, the agencies that issued them, the dates they appeared, and the reason this shift is, in the small world of national cybersecurity policy, a 40-year reversal of working assumptions. Let me back up and explain what the working assumption used to be. For most of the history of computer security, government guidance to industry has focused on practices, not on languages. The guidance said, write better tests, run more tools, train your engineers more carefully, sandbox the risky code, patch faster when bugs are reported, build security teams, disclose vulnerabilities responsibly. All of this guidance, summed up, was about layering more defenses on top of existing software written in existing languages. The language itself was treated as a fixed input. If you were writing system software, you were writing C or C++, and the question was how to be careful enough in those languages to keep the bugs out. The premise was that careful enough was achievable. The premise turned out to be wrong. We talked a few episodes ago about the numbers. Microsoft disclosed at a security conference in 2019 that roughly 70% of all serious vulnerabilities they had patched over the previous 12 years were memory safety bugs, the family of bugs that C and C++ make easy to write and almost impossible to test out. The Chromium team at Google reported the same figure around 2020. Apple has acknowledged similar numbers internally. The Android security team has been even more direct about it. These numbers did not change much from year to year. They did not respond to the layered defenses the industry had built. They were not, in any honest sense, getting better. The bugs were a property of the languages, and the languages were not changing, and so the bugs were not changing either. For decades, the response to this stalemate was to add more layers, more tools, more tests, more training, more careful review. Each layer helped a little, and none of them moved the 70% number meaningfully. Around 2020, a small but influential group of people inside government cybersecurity circles began to argue that the layered defense strategy had run its course, and that the only honest path forward was to attack the root cause, not to find the bugs faster, to make the bugs impossible. The way to make them impossible was to change the language. The first major public statement of this new posture came from the NSA document I described in the cold open. The document, titled Software Memory Safety, ran 3 pages. The headline statement, in language quite unusual for a federal document, was that memory safety issues such as buffer overflows and use after free errors represent the majority of exploitable bugs in modern software, and that organizations should, where possible, use a memory-safe programming language. The document then named by name 6 languages it considered memory-safe: C#, Go, Java, Ruby, Rust, Swift. It also named by name the 2 it considered unsafe: C++. The agency that runs much of the country's most sensitive systems on millions of lines of C was telling the rest of the country to stop starting new projects in that family of languages. What happened next was an escalation, month by month, across the agencies and across the allied governments. In December of 2023, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, known by the letter CISA, the part of the Department of Homeland Security that handles civilian cyber defense, released a document called the Case for Memory Safe Roadmaps. It was co-signed by the partner agencies in the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, the so-called Five Eyes Alliance. The document asked software manufacturers to publish public roadmaps describing how they were planning to migrate their code bases off memory unsafe languages. It singled out C and C++ by name. It did not, in the strict sense, mandate anything, but it created a public expectation. And in the world of government procurement, public expectations carry weight. In February of 2024, the strongest statement of all arrived. The Office of the National Cyber Director, an office inside the White House that sits in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, the Gray French Empire Pile next to the West Wing, released a report titled Back to the Building Blocks. The director at the time, Harry Coker, presented the report at a press event inside the building. The most quoted sentence from the report reads, "The highest leverage method to reduce memory safety vulnerabilities is to secure one of the building blocks of cyberspace, the programming language." The report named C and C++ as the principal memory unsafe languages in use today. It called on the technology community to adopt memory safe languages by default for new software. This was the executive branch of the United States government saying, in writing, in a public document signed by the National Cyber Director, that the programming language a piece of software is written in is, itself, a security control, and that the country's industry should change the default. Around the same time, other allied governments and bodies were moving in parallel. The United Kingdom's National Cybersecurity Center had co-signed the CISA document. Canada and Australia had done the same. The European Union, on a slightly different track, was finalizing a law called the Cyber Resilience Act, which received final approval in 2024. The Cyber Resilience Act does not mandate specific languages, but it does place legal liability on software vendors for security defects in products sold in the European Union, which means a vendor shipping a memory-unsafe product into Europe is now, in a way they were not before, financially exposed when that product is exploited. The economics shift, even without a direct mandate. Memory-unsafe defaults become expensive to ship. There is one more piece of the picture worth mentioning. In the same general window, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the part of the U.S. military that funds long-term research, started a program called TRACTOR, a clumsy acronym whose full expansion is not really worth your time, whose actual purpose is to investigate translating existing C code into Rust automatically, using modern artificial intelligence tools. The thought is that the existing body of C in the world is so large that no human team could rewrite it in any reasonable time frame. And that machine translation, perhaps imperfect at first, might be the only way to migrate the existing inventory while the new code, written natively in Rust, accumulates underneath it. That program is ongoing. Industry has been moving alongside the government, in some places ahead of it. Google's Android team announced in 2021 that the Android operating system was going to start accepting Rust code into the kernel and committed publicly in 2022 to writing all new system-level code in memory-safe languages. By 2023, Google was reporting that the percentage of memory-unsafe vulnerabilities in Android, which had been the largest single category for years, was dropping in lockstep with the share of new code written in safe languages, primarily Rust. The math was working out the way the theory had predicted. The new bugs were not appearing in the new code. Apple has acknowledged similar patterns internally. Microsoft, which had been one of the loudest public voices about the 70% figure for memory safety bugs, has been quietly committing to Rust inside the Windows kernel for several years now. The agencies are not asking industry to do something industry has refused to do. The agencies are giving public cover for a shift the largest software companies were already making in private. For you, the listener, what all of this means is harder to feel directly, but it is real. The government of the United States, joined by the governments of its closest allies, has officially asked its software industry to stop starting new projects in the language family that has run the world for 50 years. The pressure is being applied through procurement, through liability, through public expectation, through funded research. The pressure is not loud, and it is not framed in the language of mandate, but it is steady, and it is coordinated, and it points in one direction. New system software, the kind that runs operating systems and drivers and embedded controllers and browser engines and database engines and the smaller languages that other languages run inside of, is, by official guidance, to be written in a memory-safe language going forward. And of the memory-safe languages on the NSA's list, only one has the performance and the capability to actually replace C in the places where C still dominates. Go as a garbage collector and cannot run a kernel. Java the same. C-sharp the same. Ruby the same. Swift is mostly used inside Apple's own ecosystem. Rust, by the structure of its design, by the third way we have been telling you about for the last several episodes, is the only language on that list that fits in the slot C has occupied since 1972. That is why every one of the government documents, while careful to name the full list of memory-safe languages, implicitly treats Rust as the load-bearing recommendation for new systems work. They do not have to say so explicitly. The list says it for them. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that the security community, after 40 years of layering defenses on top of memory unsafe languages, has made a structural shift and is now arguing, with official backing from the United States government and its closest allies, that the language a piece of software is written in is, itself, a security control. The second is that the documents are real, the dates are recent, and the agencies behind them are the most security-aware in the world, with the NSA, CISA, the White House National Cyber Director, the Five Eyes intelligence partners, and the European Union all moving in coordinated parallel over the last several years. The third is that of the memory-safe languages on the official list. Rust is the only one with the performance profile to actually replace C in the places C still dominates, which is why every one of these documents is, in effect though not in name, a Rust mandate. Next time on Rust, gently, we open the door of a new season. We have spent four seasons climbing slowly toward the place where a serious systems language actually lives, and now we are going to step inside one of the other rooms of the modern software house. The room where Java has lived for 30 years. The room where the Java virtual machine has quietly run an enormous fraction of the world's business software. We will meet the JVM in plain words. We will understand what it actually does, and we will begin to understand why a language like Rust looks so different from a language like Java, even though they sometimes do the same kinds of work. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.